Again, I'm very thankful for the prayer that Brother David asked on our behalf. I ask you pray for yourselves, for one another, and ask that you'd pray for me this morning that whatever words are spoken in truth, and that they will be a benefit to each and every one of us as we go forward in the journey of life. As I stated before we had our prayer this morning, that you know, we are living in perilous times, I believe. The times are difficult, the times are dangerous, and we know not what lies ahead, but we do serve a God who we can trust that will not change, never has changed, and never will. His promises are as good today as they ever were. As we went through this last 80 or 90 days, going on 3 months here shortly, many thoughts have come to my mind pertaining to the circumstances in which we face week in and week out. We began, you know, back the third Sunday in April, and what I preached on there, which is very much something on my mind, was fear. The Bible says that we're not to fear what man shall do unto us. There's no doubt in my mind that regardless of your perception of what COVID-19 was, man in this country drove fear into people unlike any time I'd ever seen in my life. It wasn't a fear that God gave us, because God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But fear was all across the land, and there's still a great deal of it. And we need to be compassionate to those who really are scared, because there are many who are frightened to still get out of their houses and to do those things. So, you know, we all have to be considerate. I thank the Lord that I don't have that, and you don't have that to that extent, but there are those that do, and we certainly want to be mindful of them, prayerful for them, and compassionate toward their feelings and their concerns. We're told even in the Bible that we're not to fear death. David said, although we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Bible says death is a sting. You know, I'm not advocating that any of us want to die or go out and our lives be taken today. I certainly don't want that for me or want any of you, but we're not to walk through our lives fearful of death every day. It is something that if the Lord doesn't come back, that each and every one of us will face. And the Lord said he'd be with us, and that's a promise that you can count on. He told us to not fear man, because he said we may boldly say the Lord's our helper, because he said I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So We preached on that, and Brother Gail preached on friendship, and we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We preached on trust, trusting in the Lord and not leaning to our own understanding. And a lot of this had was due to the circumstances under the virus that we'd seen, but as many of you know, in the last 10 days or 2 weeks, the narrative has changed, and now it's about the extreme violence and protest and destruction of property and murder that's going on. And you think, well, that's within the government. That's not a subject. But, you know, I was talking to Brother Elder James Baker yesterday, and he said, I told him, I said, it seems like things from the Bible come to mind every time I see these things. And he said, that's the way it ought to be. And that's the way it's been with me. And I think about what's going on today. And the Bible tells us what man is by nature. He tells us how depraved man is. And if you want to see depravity at its best, turn on the television set. And I don't turn it on to watch it, but you see pictures of what's going on. You know, I'm not against civilized protest, but I tell you, when man becomes like a beast, a wild beast, there's some things that are wrong, and the Bible does address those things. And we want to look at some of that this morning. But first, we must always remember that there is no truth apart from God's Word. There are people in this world believe what they say is true, and I won't argue that it isn't true, but if it is contradictory to the Word of God and it's not in harmony, it's not true. You can put it in the toilet, as I would say, and flush it. Because if it is not in harmony with God's Word, it's not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the very picture himself of truth. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable. It's inspired by God. And you know, I think about folks that spend very little time. You know, there's a time in my life that I didn't read the Bible. And they wonder what's happening in their life. They wonder why it's happening in their life. And yet they spend so few hours in the only book that tells us about what's true in life, and actually it deals with most of the circumstances that we're facing, and yet they have no care or concern for it. There's a multitude of those folks out there. But if you want to know what's going on and why it's going on, you ought to stick your head in the book, Word of God. It's the truth. The words of the Lord are pure, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Word seven means complete in the Bible. God's word is complete. It's pure. It's the truth. There is no truth outside of God's word. It is the measurement of all truth. It is what you compare what folks say against what's really true. Like I said, if it doesn't harmonize with God's word, it's not the truth. There is no place in God's word that tells folks to deal with situations that they don't like the way we see in the cities of America today. There's no verses in there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, there's some things going on out there that you and I need to be fully and completely aware of. This is not something that God called up on us to do when we don't like what's going on. You know, Brother Scott so ably preached last Sunday on putting off, you know, the old man and putting on the new. And the Lord really blessed him. What a great service we had last Sunday. I really enjoyed it. Hadn't heard him preach in years, but he done a really wonderful job. But he got right down to the point of how we're supposed to act under these circumstances and how easy it is for you and I to get in the flesh, even though we're born of the Spirit of God. But the truth is important. We're told that there will come a time that they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn from the truth and turn unto fables. You know, it doesn't matter where it's the truth of salvation, the truth of how you're supposed to live and conduct yourself. God's word deals with it all. It instructs us in every area. We're told to do the right thing in the midst of where everybody else is doing wrong. Now, I don't believe that everybody out in a protest is not a child of God. I believe many of them probably are. But the Bible addresses that. It addresses who we're supposed to come together with and who we're supposed to fellowship with. And we'll look at some of those as we go forward in a minute. But I want you to know that the 66 books that make up the King James Version of the Bible is the only absolute truth that you have in this world. It is the truth and nothing but the truth. And we can bank on that. And when we see things going on in our society that's not according to thus saith the Lord, we can find answers to those problems, to the questions we have in God's word. This morning I want to begin by reading a verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and take a look at Paul's life. It's in the 10th verse. Paul said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." Have you ever took enough time to meditate upon that phrase of that verse, the first part of it, and really try to understand what Paul said? You know, some folks will tell you that, well, I'm the way I am because that's the way God made me. In other words, they could use this verse, if you would, for an excuse of an inability to change. But Paul's not dealing with our wrongful behavior here. That's not what's under consideration. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me." What Paul's talking about here is something that happened in his life that he wasn't wanting, desiring, he wasn't trying to obtain. And he speaks of two different things. One, of him being an apostle. The other, of him being a child of God. He says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul went on over in Ephesians 2 and 8, and he says, "By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, he explains to us that something drastic changed in his life. Notice verse 9, "For he said, I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle." He said, "That I shouldn't even be called apostle. That's how sorry I am," is what he said. He's getting right down to where the rubber meets the road. I'm no count. I'm unworthy. I'm undeserving. He tells us over in Romans chapter 7, "I am nothing but a wretch, a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Paul said, "I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle. He said, I shouldn't even be a called one because of what I've done. But notice why it was. Because I persecuted the church of God. You know, Paul believed in God, but he didn't believe in Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that if we are born of the Spirit of God, we don't only believe in God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We believe in the Son of God, the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. If you're not born of God, then you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if you believe that, that's one of the greatest evidences that you've been born of the Spirit. Now, we may not walk and live and do all the things that God would have us to do and that we ought to do, but just the outright fact that you truly believe that Jesus Christ was the living Word, the Lord Himself, who descended down from heaven, that He is the Son of God, that's an evidence, a strong evidence that you're born of the Spirit of God. Notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Now he says here, I was made an apostle and a minister unto the Gentiles, not because I woke up one day and decided to turn over a new leaf. He said something happened to me that I wasn't chasing after, I wasn't desiring, and I wasn't wanting. It was by the effective working of the omnipotent power of Almighty God. You know, not everyone is made a preacher. You might say, well, God hadn't called me to be a preacher, but if He had, you'd be one. You know, sometimes you can run from the Lord, but you can't hide. And that'll catch up with you. But I'll tell you, the Bible tells us that those who are not born of the Spirit of God, they live, they sleep, they walk in darkness all that time. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because they're foolishness unto him. And neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. In other words, if you ain't born of the Spirit of God, the things of God are meaningless unto each and every one of us. Now, I believe there's two things that Paul has under consideration here when he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He wasn't talking about his past behavior. He wasn't making an excuse for the way he lived life, or that he did not honor God, or he did not go to the house of the Lord, or that he did not preach when he's called upon to preach. He said, I am today who I am, a minister and also a child of the King, based on something that I didn't try to obtain, that I deserved, or that I could ever come to get on my own. We're told over in the 53rd Psalms, and I believe it talks about those folks in the 53rd Psalm that are walking in darkness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are people out here that declare there is no God, even though God tells us in Romans chapter 1, they're without excuse. Just by the creation that you and I see from the naked eye, we have no excuse in not declaring there is a true and living God. But it says, corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there is any that did understand, any that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. There was a man last week made a statement. He's running for president. He said there was 10 to 15% of the people that were not good in America. Well, the Bible tells me, apart from God, it's 100%. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of Almighty God, by the effectual, omnipotent power of God, I am who I am. Notice what happened, and you know, you think about man, and you think about what's going on today, and what we're seeing on the news, and you go back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 in a time when evil was so apparent in the world that it repented God that He had made man. Notice what He says in verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We all know what happened. God destroyed all human flesh and all the beast, save 8 souls who were saved by water. Noah, his 3 sons and their wives, and all the animals that God sent upon the ark with Noah. But look at what man is when he walks in darkness, when he's not born of the Spirit of God. Now, I'm not here to say that you and I, when we're born of the Spirit of God, never have an issue with a bad thought. We do. It's a battle that goes on between the spirit and the flesh all the days of our lives. But there are people in this world who have no consideration concerning that. Notice what it says back over in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21. This was after the flood and after the waters had receded, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9, and it says, who can know it? The Lord knows your heart. He knows every man, every woman, and every child's heart. And he says that heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Friends, that's what you and I know as Primitive Baptists above what many who declare to be Christians understand. We know that man by nature is totally depraved. It does not necessarily mean that you and I in a state of depravity will perform the every bad and violent wicked act there is. But apart from God, we have no conscious thoughts of them things, awareness of those things, at least I believe as the children of God do, who are born of the Spirit of God, who have the restraining grace of God in their life. You know, you've heard people say, if it not for the grace of God, there go I. Friends, that's a pretty true statement. You see somebody doing the wrong thing, it's not for the grace of God, there go I. God's grace restrains us. It says in Psalm 76, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath thou shalt restrain. You might be surprised what this world would be like if God wasn't restraining the wickedness and the evilness that goes on. It's bad enough for you and I to look out upon the horizon and see the violence and the destruction and people being put to death. That's not the answer to our problems. It never was. But when people walk in darkness, they hate things. They hated Jesus. And Jesus says, because they hated him, they'll hate us. But friends, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Notice what Paul says back over in Ephesians chapter 6. I think there's some difficulties in life about an understanding of things that we need to really understand every day. Verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, somebody'd say, well, I turn on the TV, there's a lot of wrestling there with flesh and blood, a lot of killing, a lot of destruction. Yes, there is. But notice what it says. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't think for one minute that those kind of things are not found at the root of what's going on in this country anytime that kind of thing happens. You know, the Lord didn't say go out when things are wrong. You know, Peter, when they arrested Jesus Christ, Peter decided that he would take matters into his own hand. And what did he do? He pulled out his sword and he cut off the ear of the centurion, and the Lord said, put away your sword. You know, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You know, if we want change in this country, it begins by kneeling and praying day in and day out. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. We preached on that out of 1 Kings. You know, can you imagine the prayer of Elijah? One man prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. So there's not a dark drop of dew or a drop of rain for 3.5 years. That's one man's prayer that was answered. He poured out his heart unto God. Do you believe collectively we can make a difference in praying? I think we're going to find out. I think there's a good chance, because the way things are going, if God doesn't intervene in our lives, if God doesn't take over for us, we don't have the strength to do that. We absolutely do not. You know, we talk about Paul. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. We know that he said the effectual working power of God was what caused him to be a minister. But let's go to Acts chapter 9 and let's look at Paul. Paul at that time was called Saul of Tarsus. He was schooled in the best schools. He was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, and he was a Pharisee. Now, Paul, he claimed that God existed. He thought he was doing God's service. You know, there are people today who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that when they put folks to death, they're doing God's service. But that's not the Lord that we know. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he be found in any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Paul was not a good man at this time. He was known as Saul of Tarsus. His name was later changed to Paul. But his objective at this time was to rid the world of Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, and even the name of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine Paul being that way? Saul of Tarsus. Notice over in chapter 7 in the last verse. And he kneeled down, being Stephen, who was stoned to death for preaching the gospel. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Not only that, you talk about a man of compassion who was on his way to immediate death. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You know, this is somebody that's in tune with Jesus Christ in a proper manner. No doubt God had given him the grace to deal with the circumstances of the situation. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul, later to be known as the Apostle Paul, was consenting unto his death. Paul didn't want anything to do with Christians or followers of Jesus Christ. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial in great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committing them to prison. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. When we read about Paul in Romans, when we read about Paul in the book of Ephesians, in 1 Corinthians, where our text comes from, Paul was not Saul of Tarsus, the man he was at that time. Some great change took place in his life. He didn't turn over a new leaf. He wasn't looking for a new day. Notice how bad this was. We know that as Paul had received letters from the high priest and headed down the road to Damascus, as he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. You can go over in another place in, I believe, the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, and it says that the light that shined down on Paul from heaven was brighter than the noonday sun. Can you imagine? And it caused him to fall to his knees. This man who was persecuting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this man who was making an attempt to rid the world of even the name of Jesus Christ. Friends, where would we be today if Jesus Christ hadn't existed? He was eternal in the heavens, but he took on himself human flesh, and he was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Where would we be? We'd be yet in our sins and without any hope. As bad as all this is going on in the world today, and no telling what may be coming down the pipe in the future, we know not, but the Lord does. We have a hope that goes beyond this problems that we got because of Jesus Christ. Him and him alone. But notice there's a great change that took place with Paul. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? This man who wouldn't give the time of day to a Christian or anybody that spoke the name of Jesus Christ immediately said, Lord, What will thou have me to do? Notice how it's put over by the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why should we praise him every opportunity we get? Because God, with his omnipotent power, has called each and every one of his children out of darkness into their marvelous light. We didn't come out of darkness in our own power. We love darkness. And I'll show you some scriptures that tells us that. We love darkness. By nature, that's where we want to be. That's why men are able to do what they do without any conscious concern about it. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let's go to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, and notice the words that we have here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning. And it goes on and says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. In Jesus Christ was life immortal. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the light that dwells within every child of God. You didn't walk out of darkness and obtain that light. God blessed you when he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verily, verily, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Who are they that heard? Those that were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That word comprehend doesn't mean to understand it. It didn't understand it. It means to apprehend or seize. No, darkness can never seize the light. Darkness can never apprehend the light. It took the omnipotent power of Almighty God to call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have that the same thing that Paul had. That we have together as God's children. We were called out of darkness by the omnipotent power of God. Not willingly, not deservingly. God called us to that place. Notice back over in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 21, after he had fell down and he had been blind for 3 days, and he went to Ananias, and Ananias done what the Lord said and restored his sight. The Lord restored it. And it says, and straightway in verse 20, he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. An amazing change. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Notice what it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, too, and in verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Tell me that he wasn't born of the Spirit of God at that very moment. When he was struck down by that great light that was brighter than the noonday sun. When Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am an apostle. I'm a born-again Christian. But it had nothing to do with me, myself. That's how it is with us, brothers and sisters. Because in a state of nature, in a state of darkness, we can do anything. We can be evil, just like the evil that we see. I believe there's no doubt that God restrains us. Have you ever had thoughts about folks you know that are wrong, you know that are sinful, and you ought not to have them? Isn't it amazing that we don't follow through with some of our thoughts? I believe that's the restraining grace of Almighty God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on the name this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? I mean, this was amazing. Paul's reputation was known throughout the land. He cared nothing for Jesus Christ or anybody that followed him. And now he's preaching Christ and calling him Lord, which the Bible tells us that no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Spirit of God or by the Holy Ghost. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul was exactly right, just like he was with us. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Friends, we sit here today with hope, because of what Jesus Christ done in our lives. I think about Romans chapter 8, a few verses there. You know, we talk about that darkness cannot apprehend. It cannot seize upon the light. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that the carnal mind, if I can get over to it, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's an enemy against God. The flesh never has desired God, and it never will. That's why you have a warfare going on within you. That's why we know when we do wrong, we ought to done right. We know it because that's a constant battle between the spirit and in the flesh. For it is not subject to the law of God, the carnal mind, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Christ in you, that light, that hope of glory, that makes us realize that we don't need to go out when we get upset with what's going on in this world, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, against principalities, against high powers, powers in darkness. That's what we're wrestling against, whether you want to believe it or not. That's what's behind all this. You don't think Satan's having a heyday today? He's winning lots of battles. He lost the war, but he's winning lots of battles at this present time. May God bless us, as it was said last Sunday, to put on the new man and shed the old man. It's easy to get caught up in this, and that's why we're warned time and time again in the Bible. What we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act and react to these circumstances. Again, when we're called out of darkness, it's by the omnipotent power of God. That's why we can say, along with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because we've been called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Aren't you thankful that you have enough light in you to understand that what's going on is not the right way to deal with matters? And how we're to live life is to live it to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing when you think that Jesus Christ is a power beyond any power in this world, and all power is subject unto Him, and yet He opened not His mouth? He could have done away with all those that had Him on trial. I mean, that's the power that our God has, but He didn't do that. And that's what we're not supposed to do that either. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We really don't. You think about 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let me get there. There's a verse that, again, tells us the omnipotent power that we've seen when God calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In verse 16 it says, who only hath the immortality, speaking of Jesus Christ, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I didn't come out of darkness and approach unto that glorious light. We were called out of it by the almighty power of God. We were dead in trespasses and sin, and He quickened us together with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and by grace we were saved. And we can stand with the Apostle Paul today just like he was. You may not be a preacher, but I tell you, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, you can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It wasn't of my doing. It wasn't of something that I desired. Something that I was after. It's something that God wrought in me. Let's notice what it says back over in the Gospel of John chapter 3. It tells us a lot about this old world that we live in, and the difficulties that we see. In the first part of John chapter 3, Jesus has just explained to Nicodemus that a man must have spiritual life or he cannot see the kingdom of God or enter into it. If you can't see it or enter into it, then you will never desire it, neither will you go. A man must be born again to see it. He must be born again to hear it. He must be born again to enter into it. Life always precedes actions. We go to verse 18, and I want to read those three verses. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. He's born of the Spirit. But he that believeth not is already condemned. He says, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is a declaration, not an invitation to believe on him. This is the work of God that you believe on him who he hath sent, John 6:29. But notice what it says in verse 19. And this is the condemnation. This is why. This is why they're condemned. This is why you and I were condemned. The whole world, the whole natural world stood guilty before God, as we're told in Romans chapter 3. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Friends, that's what's going on today. By nature, our deeds are evil. We didn't want the light. Men love darkness rather than light. That's sad to say, but by nature, that's the way we are. Apart from God's grace, that's where we are. We love darkness more than light. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. He can't even reprove his own deeds. Notice, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God or that they are wrought of God. When you manifest good works, it's because God is working in you. He works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the light that is burning within every child of God. You were called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And with Paul, you can say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Because I think everyone sitting here today knows they didn't go out and obtain light or become a child of God based on their desires. It was something that God caused in their life. It was his omnipotent power that brought them to that place. We wonder why men are the way they are. Because they're depraved. But you know, sometimes we as Christians get caught up in those difficulties. I want to read Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. As God's children, there's some great admonition given to us in the Word of God as to how we're to deal with the circumstances. You know, if the Bible is written to God's children, and I believe it is, most of the instruction that we have here is to tell us about what's going on out in the world and how we restrain ourselves becoming involved in that or becoming a part of it. It says in the verse 10, loveth worketh no ill to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time and knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. The works of darkness are out there, and sometimes we as God's children can get caught up in the works of darkness. Isn't that an amazing thing? And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk in the light that God has given us. When he said that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, the Lord meant it. His weapons wasn't carnal. That's why he reattached that centurion's ear when he was arrested, that Peter had pulled out his sword and cut off. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. We have a God in heaven who can fight our battles. We have a God in heaven that can help us, that will never leave us nor forsake us. He says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in the rioting and the drunkenness, not in the chambering and the wantonness, not in the strife and the envy. You know, I happened to catch a glimpse, and I don't watch a lot of news, but I was watching an event the other night, and they talking about one of these cities where all this rioting is going on, and an amazing thing how logical God is. It said before the sun went down that most of the rioting was peaceable and controllable. But it was after the sun went down and it got dark that things erupted and the violence got out of hand. And I've seen that happen time and time again. There's something about darkness. The Lord knows what he's saying when he talks about the works of darkness. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Notice the words over in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, a great teaching for us as we deal with these situations in life. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness. You know, we lived in darkness. At some given point, just like Paul, and I can't call that. Some people can tell you when they were called out of darkness into the light, marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us were too young. Some of us might have been like John the Baptist, and it happened in our mother's womb. But needless to say, for we were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This darkness, light's real. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says, then this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is righteous, and in him is no unrighteousness at all. God is good, and there is no evil in God. That's the message that was declared to us by John in 1 John 1 and 5. As his children, let's walk in the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You know, if there's something bad going on in a dark room and you turn on the light, it'll be made manifest. If you walk in on your children when they's young and they's doing something they wasn't supposed to be, when you flip on the light, it's going to be made manifest. That's what the Lord's saying here. It manifested. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He is our light, and he is our hope. 2 Corinthians, we'll get a couple more of these in close. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14, I believe, through 18. Great admonition here. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? There is none. If you're walking in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible encourages us and admonishes us not to walk in darkness, not to walk in the unfruitful works of darkness. It says, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of God, as God that saith, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. We need to walk in the light. And I close in 1 Thessalonians 5 and chapter 5, and verses 4 through 6, or verses 4 and 5. But ye brethren are not darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. God's children are not. Even though if we're not careful, if we don't watch, you know, the Bible says to watch, to be on guard, that you enter not into temptation. It says, indeed the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're prone to that if we're not careful, if we're not on guard. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That watch means to be on guard, to pay attention. The things that are evil that we wrestle with, the powers of darkness, they truly exist. Satan being the chief leader of it. It's in the world we see today. We see evil. We see destruction. People destroying lives and property and such things that they don't even know who it is. They're in a rampage. We need not that. And we need not to turn that way. You know, it's easy to say, I'm going to pull out my sword, my gun, and I'm going to take care of them. But friends, I'm here to tell you, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. The way we begin to use those weapons is by entering into prayer on our knees and praying, God, be merciful to us, a nation, a people. And I pray, it's God's people that'll make the difference, if my people who are called by my name. It's the praying of the Lord's people, because those that are walking in darkness and they're not God's people, they're unbelievers, they're not praying to God to end this matter. They don't care. It's you and I that need to pray, if my people who are called by my name. That's where it all begins. That is a weapon that is not carnal, and it's a powerful one. May God bless us to not walk in darkness, but to walk in the light that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us, and to understand what God says about the circumstances and the times in which we live.